Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Coming up on TMS, that Asian kid's a hoot.
Welcome to the Frog Pants Cafeteria. It's a lovely place. Aww.
Keep your schnauzer out of my schnitzel.
No show Wednesday.
Brian is a daddy apologist.
Damn right. Explore the prostate.
AT&T and TNT.
Charles Emerson Cheese III.
No time for Oscars, Dr. Jones.
Catch up on your hooker culture.
The rodent runs on floppies.
When you think of wooden marching bands, think of Trojan.
How are we supposed to watch Wapner?
Papa Williams takes the court.
Scott does math, App Slappy edition, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hi, I'm Jan from Jan's RV Rentals, and this is my business associate, Jenny.
Hi.
You seem human, and yet, what do you hear?
The Morning Stream. Don't order the schnitzel. They're using schnauzer.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Monday, March 13th, 2023. We got ourselves a 3-13-23.
Woo! 0-3-1-3-2-3.
Woo! Look at all the threes.
Lots of threes.
Yeah, unless you're, let's see, if you're in Europe, it's 1303-23, or wait.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah, we forget how they do crap over there. And it's fine how you do it. You know, you always know when you're working with a Canadian, because like on all my shows, see the tabs down there, they have the date the way you and I do it. The American way, damn it.
Yep.
The way, exactly. When I go into the show notes for Core, Bo always does our new tab, and it's always the weird other way. Because he's a Canadian. Damn it, you're our hat. Get in line, Canada.
I would prefer if everybody adopts the format year, month, day. Because then you can sort by that and it'll always be, regardless of you know, whatever else you do, but the changing of the millennium, whatever, it'll always sort correctly.
That's right. It's alphanumerically more usable in a, like a spreadsheet or something. Absolutely. Why don't we all do that already?
Let's just all do that. Because then you'll say, and then you're, Matuba says I'm a commie. Oh. I mean, the problem with that is then like, oh, hey, what day is the concert? Oh, that's going to be 2023, March 5th.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But you could still say like in common, like communication, you could say, oh, that's next November. It's the 13th. Like you don't have to get super into the weeds. Yeah. So I, you know what? I vote for this change. Let's make it happen on the next ballot. Let's be like Canada.
Canada!
All right, moving on.
Canada!
We got a few things to talk about today because the Oscars happened, damn it. And that's pretty cool. Look, I'm, okay, so just a little setup here. This isn't anything new. In years past, it's been true also. But it's kind of rare I get to see the Oscars because I've been unplugged from regular old cable slash similar services since 2007. And as a result, the Oscars aren't readily available in a, as a as a sort of on a streaming service thing, unless you pay up to like YouTube TV or you pay up to Hulu TV or one of these things that has like a bundle service.
I got grandfathered early on to the AT&T TV before it switched to DirecTV. I think there's four more T's in there. DirecTV.
All the T's.
That's it. Yeah. And so it's like, well, I don't ever want to get rid of this because I've got the lowest price I can pay for every channel. Yeah. So I want BBC America. Great. I can watch BBC America. I want that concert thing. I can watch that. Because you know what? Otherwise, you can't freaking watch Jeopardy. Because there's no streaming Jeopardy except whatever Netflix decides they want to give you, the college tournament.
Yeah, which is like four episodes that you don't care about. It's like, come on, man.
No, give me, I want to watch Daily Jeopardy, and I can't do it otherwise.
I agree. I mean, how are we supposed to watch Wapner later? Anyway, the point is, deep cut. I just refuse. And I wish I was grandfathered into a better deal, and I'm not, damn it. So I just am like, forget it. And I'll get the news the next day. Plus, I kind of find the whole thing a little bit cringe leading up. I like the awards. I want people to win shit. Like, yeah. I love movies. I'm a movie guy. I love all that. But the pomp, the circumstance, and all that stuff around it, I guess it's not really my jam. However, we like to talk about the winners and the nominees on the show and stuff. And now we have an official list. Now, if I go back in time, Brian, let's take a time machine.
Sure. Okay. All right.
And I go all the way back to
the harp noise.
I go back to the weekend. We'll do three time travel skips. One time travel skip, I go back to the year 1984. And Brian and I are in the movie theater. Okay, it's you and me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're 15, 14, whatever we are. And you and I go to a movie and we're going to see Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Sure, sure.
So you and I are in seats. This could happen, there's a scenario where we are that age and we could be in the same theater. So this isn't that
if
crazy.
If Everything Everywhere All at Once has told us anything, it's that every possibility exists in some version of the multiverse. So yes.
Absolutely. So you and I are sitting there, great seats, popping corn, you know, all the things.
I hope that it's done for me, but okay.
It's all done.
Theaters are different.
Okay. Let's say it's all done for you, and you got the drink, whatever your choice is. Maybe you went full swamp water where you just got every flavor because we're dicks when we're 14. I don't know.
Sure.
So then we're watching this thing, and we're like, this funny Asian kid. Boy, he's a hoot. One day, and I say to you this is how you would know I was a time traveler.
Yeah.
I'd say, one day, Brian, this guy, say year 2023, this guy's going to win a Best Supporting Actor Oscar. And we both would have had a great laugh and then watched the movie, right?
You know, it would be better if we time traveled back to 1992 and saw the great film Encino Man starring Pauly Shore, because then we could have said, boy, could you imagine if two of these people won acting Oscars in 30 years?
Yeah, people forget those two were in that movie together. Very small role for Kwan, but it was still, it was a moment.
Still enough. Kimmel hosting last night even brought that up. He said, this is a very sad day for Pauly Shore.
That's actually a pretty good joke. That's pretty good.
Yeah. His best joke of the night, I will say this, and this only really makes sense if you've seen an AMC theater, or if you've been to an AMC theater in the last 3 years, 2 years, however long it's been. Mm. But he says, it's really good to see Nicole Kidman tonight. Looks like she's finally been released from that abandoned AMC theater.
Oh, man.
Because when you go to an AMC theater, before you even get the previews, or no, it's after the previews, before the feature, you get this weird video of what looks like a Funko Pop version of Nicole Kidman. Because her head's really big and her body's really, really small and her eyes kind of look dead. Anyway, walking through an abandoned AMC theater saying, thank you for coming back to the films. Heartbreak just feels better in a place like this. And she's watching.
She's watching
some strange movie that's an amalgamation of Wonder Woman, La La Land, Creed, and I can't remember what the fourth one is.
Hmm. So this is some Dark Days of 2020 kind of business.
It is. It's basically saying, please come back to the theaters. And she's sitting in an empty theater talking to people who are in a theater.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. And you can do this with everybody, by the way. Go back to Halloween. Go back to 1978 or 9, whatever it was, and watch Halloween. And you go, that lady right there, she's going to be a Best Supporting Actress one day.
Right.
And maybe she was awesome then and you would have been correct. But you would be. Jamie Lee Curtis, well done. All these people. I mean, I feel like Michelle Yeoh was we've just been waiting for this. So it's not like that big of a surprise.
I was predicting Kate Blanchett just because I wanted to. I knew Everything Everywhere All at Once was going to be huge. And it already had a huge night at the Golden Globes. I thought, let's see if the Fablemans, which I feel... I don't think was a better movie, but I feel is like more the stuff that Hollywood likes to pat themselves on the back for.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's basically Steven Spielberg's autobiography.
Yeah.
Really want to know, though, if the same thing happened with his mom that Michelle Williams did in the movie. But anyway. Personally, Banshees of Inisherin was my favorite of the 10 this year, of the Best Picture nominees.
Hilariously, it's the only one of the 10 I've seen.
Well, no, you've seen Top Gun Maverick.
Come on. I saw Top Gun. That's right. I always just like throw that one to the side because I knew it wasn't going to win, but you know.
And put your and you know, figure out a way. Maybe eat a Mike Tyson ear CBD gummy beforehand and go see Avatar in the theaters before it leaves theaters, because that, even with a big TV, and I know you've got this big, beautiful 4K TV, the theater experience is the way to...
Yeah, but why a gummy? Why a gummy to see Avatar? What's that about?
So you can put up with the other things that are crap about the AMC theater, the other people, basically.
The theater close to you now
might require some sort of like...
I need a sedative to go, okay.
Deprivation to get away from the other people.
Yeah, I do. I do hate the theater people. But all right, so let's look at how things went. I mean, Everything Everywhere All at Once basically swept everything.
They did.
And you know what? This is so dumb. Part of me was like, I hear this news as it's coming out, right? Because I'm not watching it. Part of me's like, well, where were you in 2015 when Fury Road was that year's Everything Everywhere All at Once? I know this is a very specific opinion that I hold, but that movie was nominated like crazy and then, you know, didn't win its two major directing or best picture things. It feels like this is kind of like a movie like that. It's not like that, but you know what I'm saying? It's like genre film.
It's outside of the what you know, Oscar usually picks for kind of the mainstream thing. Like,
right.
Women Talking is very much in that straight and narrow that Hollywood likes to do. I think three surprises in that list, really. Everything Everywhere All at Once, Avatar, and Top Gun.
Yeah.
I feel like they're outside of what Hollywood usually picks for these sorts of things.
Do you think it's because we went to the 10 and it used to be shorter list, and now the 10 just allows for more? You know?
Yeah, but the two that maybe should have been in there, from what I hear, Till... what was the other one? There was another one that should have been in the list there was a lot of talk about that maybe should have been in there instead of Elvis. Elvis just didn't belong in there at all. Elvis I thought was a good Baz Luhrmann movie, but not a very good movie overall.
Yeah, good point. So I went into this thing thinking that, I had a question, because I haven't found anything about this.
Yeah.
Every year, the previous winner of the major awards gives the award for that new year. Did Will Smith come out there?
No.
He didn't.
I think it was Harrison. Oh, no, Harrison Ford did Best Picture. Who did Best Actor? They had...
So that breaks with tradition.
Jessica Chastain. It's not a hard, fast law. It's a typical, like, it's a usually kind of thing.
What did he win last year? Best Actor?
Yeah.
Chat room?
Yeah, Best Actor for that, for the tennis movie. The
Dad with Two
Grandpa
Ladies.
Papa Williams.
Yeah.
Daddy Williams.
Daddy Williams. Yeah. Papa Williams Takes the Court.com.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Well, then, so was he there at all?
They didn't show him. There were lots of jokes about, you know,
if
you decide to run up on stage. They did a great cut to a whole bunch of people in the audience who it looked like they were kind of responding to it. Like, you know, Jimmy said, well, if you want to come up and slap me for something I said, here's all the people you're going to have to get through.
Mm.
And he listed all these people, and the camera would cut to them, including people like Steven Spielberg and Andrew Garfield.
That's great. They should have, you know what? They should have had Carlton. That actor who plays Carlton should have been the guy. Put him up there. You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Carlton from the show, from Fresh Prince
from
of Bel Air. Yeah. Get him up there instead of him.
He's too busy doing the America's Funniest Home Videos or whatever.
All right.
But I see the reference, right?
Yeah.
Right,
it's just kind of a joke. Also, DJ Jazzy Jeff, he would have been good. Oh, someone in chat said that. Anyway, well, that's a shame, but lots of jokes. Eh? I was wondering if they'd even bring it up, but it sounds like they had fun with it.
Because they had a host this year, it got brought up, and especially because that host was Jimmy Kimmel, who already jokes about you know, him nonstop anyway.
That's true.
But best, you know, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Excellent. Tina's like, you know, I'm glad it's doing well. People seem to like that movie. I didn't like it. Mm. Or I should have done it in her voice. That's really good for them. Good for them. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Hey, look, sometimes things can't be for everyone, you know? Mm. It's okay. It's not a problem.
No. But for people like you, Scott, who, you know, who didn't watch it for whatever reason, and all this stuff, of course, I think is available on YouTube. Here are the things you want to go back and watch videos of. Ready? All right.
Go.
You've got Ke Huy Quan's win and his speech. You've got Brendan Fraser's speech and End of List.
End of line. Yeah. Okay.
There were no, for me, and maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but there were no, like, oh my God, that can't, you've got to go back and see that. No can't miss moments. It was a very by the book, very, you know, it was, you get to see Jamie Lee Curtis finally winning and her reaction was great. Ke Huy Quan. Mm-hmm. The dance scene for Nacho, which I'm going to call Nacho Nacho instead of Nacho.
Oh, were those guys, did they do the Triple R guys? Were they there doing it?
They were there. It wasn't the guys, but it was, the guys were there, but they weren't up on stage dancing.
Oh, that's a shame. Uh-huh. I still think that thing would have been cool to see in a higher light here at this event, but whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, this thing won everything.
You haven't watched that yet, have you?
No, I still haven't. It's still
two parts. Split into two parts.
That's the only way I'm going to do it. It's the only way I'm going to do it. Last night, look, I used 3 hours of my day yesterday to catch up on Last of Us so I could see the finale.
Oh.
Which I did. And I got all the way done.
I haven't seen the finale yet, so no spoilers.
No spoilers at all. It's very good and ends great, in my opinion. Cool. But yeah, so we did that. So I'm like, after we got done, I said, well, honey, that was as long as it would have taken us to get through Triple R. And she's like, yeah, but when did we get 3 hours? I go, we just did. We just had 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, but I had to watch that. And now we're going to watch Triple R. That's coming up.
Cool. Please do. Please.
I also signed up. I signed up for Showtime today, this morning, so that I can watch Everything Everywhere All at Once, because it's the only place you can get it.
It is the only place you can get it. And look back at maybe I need to, so like you did for me with the Steam Deck and giving me a recommended bunch of games.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the same for you with Showtime from my recommendals over the last couple months, so that you can basically say, great, I'll cancel. So get Showtime and immediately cancel Showtime. So you get 1 month.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you all the other things that you should watch.
Okay.
During that month.
Nice. I know one of them is that Yellow Jackets business, or is that them?
Yes.
That is
yes,
them.
Yellow Jackets is Showtime. I'd also say the Joseph Gordon-Levitt History of Uber.
Oh, that's just
I hate the name Super Pumped, because it sounds like such a bro show. But
yeah, which I guess was the point. But that thing's six episodes or something. It's not very long.
Quick watch, and it's fast, and it's got Coach Taylor. So come on.
Oh shit! Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. I'm in. I love that guy. Yeah. I watch anything.
And the wife from *Halt and Catch Fire* that we all like, Carrie.
Oh,
it's Carrie something. Can't remember.
That's how much we like her. We can't remember her name.
Yeah, exactly. She's so great. Whatever her name is.
So
all I can think is Carrie Condon, but she was not. Obviously, she was Banshees.
Yeah,
Carrie Bechet. Thank you, Wabbit.
There you go. Did let's see. I was going to ask you another question about something.
Sure.
What was it? Oh, Black Panther went your way. Wakanda Forever got the. Isn't that the one you picked? I think
it is.
That.
Yeah, for costume. Which come on, it's full of costumes. How could it not win?
Yeah.
Angela Bassett didn't get it. I was rooting for her. And I mean, I was happy to see Jamie Lee Curtis win as well. But I was hoping Angela Bassett would get it. All my shorts. No, I take that back. I did pick the right animated short film, but I didn't pick the right live action or documentary shorts.
Irish Goodbye for live action short.
Yeah.
And what was the best animated? The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse.
Boy and Mole is what I picked for animated. I'm trying to remember what documentary was. Was it
I'm looking right here. I can't find it. Cinematography.
Oh no, let's see. Yeah, that was Irish Goodbye. Was it Elephant Whispers, which we weren't able to watch.
Oh, there it is. Oh, that's the one you didn't see.
The one we didn't see.
That's funny.
Isn't that always the way?
I watched My Year of Dicks yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah. It is very good.
Yeah, it's not as good as
Ice Merchants.
Well, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to watch them all, but I started with that. So
watch, if I give you, if you could, if you only do three shorts, Ice Merchants animated, and then two live action, Night Ride and Les Pupilles, which is on Disney Plus. The other two are on YouTube.
Right, right.
I finally found a really good definitive list that had all this stuff, and it has links.
Oh,
I
good.
Should share that.
Ooh,
to
send me a link.
I'll send you a link as well. Yeah. Anyway, awesome. I feel a little bad for Banshees. They got ignored.
They really did.
Yeah. It's a shame.
It's too bad because that's such a great movie. And Brendan and Colin were in the front. They brought out the donkey.
Yeah.
And Jenny the donkey was there.
Of course. They were.
As well as Cocaine Bear.
Oh, yeah. I heard about the Cocaine Bear thing. Did everyone want to cringe with that, or was that fine?
It was funny when Cocaine Bear was, well, funny. The bar for funny at the Oscars is a different bar than what's very funny. But
it's a pretty low bar. Yeah.
The Cocaine Bear with Elizabeth Banks was kind of funny. The Cocaine Bear harassing Malala for cocaine was not quite as funny. That was more on the cringe.
That seems a little cringy. Yeah.
That was a little cringy. Yes.
All right. Well, but nothing as crazy as Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, right?
There were no moments like that. No, right. No moments at all like that.
That's probably fine. We're a better people when that doesn't happen.
Yep, exactly.
All right, excellent. Well, if you haven't seen any of the movies or shorts or any of that stuff, it was a pretty banner year. Movies did good.
It was
this year.
Yeah.
You know what else was great in 2022? 2022 had some of the best horror movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And those don't get recognized at these Oscars. But
no.
But
no.
If you were like, man, I heard there were some good horror movies. Do not sleep on things like Barbarian and freaking
Megan
was awesome. And I love
Smile.
Smile scared the shit out of me.
What's the one with the, I guess it's older one, the one with the black and white looking clown?
Oh,
it's a verb. No, it's a.
Oh,
Annihilator,
Terrifier.
That's it. Terrifier.
I still say Terrifier 1's worse than 2, but 2 is interesting. But those things, that movie is for people that want 100% wall to wall slasher fanfic, and it's not as creative as the rest of these. I mean, there are some really good horror movies this last year. So we'll see what 2023 brings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
At some point, we'll have Monica on to talk about him, too.
I got a question about lyrics. Can I ask you this real fast?
Please. You know, I'm a lyrics guy. Love me some lyrics.
This old song by Bruce Springsteen, everybody's favorite American, you know, rockin' dude.
Yeah. Certainly one of my favorite artists.
Somebody reminded me, or somebody said this on Twitter, and it reminded me, if you just listen to the opening lyrics of I'm on Fire, mm-hmm. Here's how they go. Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go away and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, 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 I'm on fire. All right.
Yeah.
Why, when it was on in the 80s, did it not occur to me how creepy this song is? And
because
does it mean
we're a lot closer to use of the word daddy, which people like look at these things and they like think, oh, daddy, he said the word daddy. Must be talking about a father and daughter.
Yeah.
And they forget crap like The Zombies, Time of the Season, What's Your Name, Who's Your Daddy, Is He Rich Like Me,
yeah.
Or Hank Williams in 1948, Long Gone Daddy, or the term Sugar Daddy.
Sugar Daddy, right, right.
So when are these thumpers going to start complaining about the word baby? Like, you know, take me home tonight, baby. Oh, he's talking about a baby. That's gross. He's a pedophile. So, my God, can we quit thumping our little Bibles about terms like daddy and
I didn't realize, Brian.
It's clear from the second verse, because I get so irritated by crap like this.
Got some fire in you on this one. I love it.
Yeah. Well,
this
I mean, you look at the second verse, and it's like, tell me now, baby, is he good to you? Does he do to you the things that I do?
Yeah.
Is he still talking? Because then, oh, it's competing pedophiles for this small child's attention? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah. You guys need to all catch up on your hooker culture, okay?
Exactly. Come
Jeez
on.
Jeez Louise.
Point me to the Twitter poster, and I'm going to unload with both barrels.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
No, because it's Twitter, and I don't care about
Yeah, who
Twitter.
Cares? Screw Twitter. It doesn't matter. But exactly. You know what? That actually shed some light on that. I appreciate that.
Yes. Seriously. I mean, how many people complain about the word baby in songs? And that is used ad infinitum, ad infinitum.
It might be the most used, honestly.
Might be.
There's probably some list that says most used words.
Yeah, and it's probably not baby. It's probably like love. I bet you the word love is probably the most used.
Oh, that's probably true. Song. Yeah, that's a good one. That might even have baby in it, you know? I love but you, I mean, baby.
It's a very...
Yeah.
It's a very Johnny Cash kind of thing. Bruce Springsteen was inspired by Johnny Cash when he wrote I'm on Fire. And it's cool because several years later, Johnny Cash covered I'm on Fire on one of his American Comes Around albums, which is really cool.
No, I didn't know that. All right. But, well, then yeah. Everyone
and
quit.
And that's where the little girl thing, again, you know, it's little girl. It's a term of you know, a term that's not used these days, but hey, little girl, you know, kind of referring to a love interest or a thing like that.
Or a lady of the night.
Well, there's that too.
Lady.
Anyway.
So there you go. That's the definitive answer.
Let's all freak out about words taken out of context in songs.
It's a good time. It's a good time. All right, check this out. Let us now join with us Mr. Brian Dunaway, who comes here on Mondays and Wednesdays to play a little game with us. This is a chance for us to give out some prizes to some people, and it's always good having him here. Hi, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi. Oh, hi, Brian.
Hi.
How are what you? I walk into, baby.
Hey, are you saying that one of us is a small child?
Are you saying Brian? I'm an infant? Is that what you're saying? You bastard.
I am saying that. You are both immature little babies, baby.
Excellent. Hey, it's good to have you, mature baby, with us today. And we're gonna play a little game. We got some prizes. We have contestants. Brian Ebba here will explain how it all works. What's going on?
I will do all of that. Welcome to the morning, Half Asses, a trivia game, baby, where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if any of those guesses are wrong, they get 0 points for that round. Get one, gets you a point. Get two right, gets you 3 points. And get all three correct, you get 5 freaking points. The most points at the end of the game will win the prize for their contestant. We got a couple contestants that I pulled names from the Tadpool list that aren't able to be here live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Jeff Bremel in Knoxville,
Tennessee.
And Brian, that's the one. And Brian, you're going to be playing for Paul Reidlinger in Toronto. Oh. He is known as CND Movin in the Tadpool when he's occasionally able to join us.
Toronto.
Canada.
Yeah, that's Toronto. Awesome. Love that. Exactly. Very cool.
Yes.
All right.
All right. So let's get into this. Speaking of Oscars, this is a great time to bring this one up, and it did randomly come up today, so I was like, perfect. Oscar winners for Best Picture. Which three of these six movies actually won the Oscar for Best Picture? At least one gimme in this one. Right. Your choices are Bonnie and Clyde, Bridge on the River Kwai, The Matrix, West Side Story, High Noon, Terms of Endearment.
The Matrix.
Yeah. It's kind of a gimme. This is made, you know, it's the game that's made for old people.
Sure. We got to have some easy stuff in there. I get it.
Yep.
Boy, howdy. Let's see.
Well, the only Oscar I'm concerned with is the one that lives in my trash can.
Mm. Oscar in the trash can.
He's kind of a grouch, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know.
I think I'm going to go.
Hey, wouldn't you be if you lived in a trash can?
Wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, it's true.
All right, I've locked in.
All right, have you both locked in? You both have locked in. Let's see what you guys picked. Yeah, both of you settled on Terms of Endearment. That is absolutely a winner. Bridge on the River Kwai also won. However, Bonnie and Clyde did not.
Shit!
No. West Side Story, the original one,
yeah,
as did, like you said, Bridge on the River Kwai in Terms of Endearment. Bonnie and Clyde, Matrix, duh, and High Noon did not win.
I thought Bonnie and Clyde won. Dang it. All right. That's a good movie still to this day.
It is a good movie.
I chickened out. I almost picked on West Side Story.
You almost did West Side Story? Yeah, you should have.
Yeah, I chickened out, though. I chickened out.
You would have run away with points, man.
You would have. You got three, so you're going into the second question with 3 points. I can tell you, actually. Bonnie and Clyde lost to In the Heat of the Night. The Matrix lost to American Beauty. And High Noon lost to The Greatest Show on Earth.
Oh.
In the Heat of the Night. I mean, where Archie Bunker is, like, living in a southern town?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's the one.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, no other Heat of the Nights have been made.
Except the TV show. That was pretty good. But the movie.
That was. That's the one that's the...
Oh, is that the TV show?
Brian's talking about.
Oh. Gotcha. Okay.
With Carol O'Connor. All right. Get to number two. Number two says, Hardy Boys books. Which of these are actual books in the Hardy Boys series of books?
What? Oh, my God.
The Bombay Boomerang, Database Danger, Motocross Madness, The Peacock Puzzle, The Sinister Signpost, and The Vanishing Viking.
I thought it said Sinister Shitpost. I don't know why.
A little alliterative.
I've never read a single Hardy Boy book. This is going to be all guesswork.
I'm going all in.
Which is what this, which way I think the books were about, right?
Yeah. I don't. Motocross Madness is a video game, isn't it?
yeah. It is.
All right. I'm going for it. I'm going all in.
Okay. Oh, you guys are both locked in. I get to watch what Scott picks and then unpicks. Mm-hmm. And for a second, you had The Peacock Puzzle, Database Danger, and The Vanishing Viking.
Yeah. Please tell me, Dad.
All three of the wrong answers. Yeah. The correct answers were The Bombay Boomerang, The Sinister Signpost, and Motocross Madness.
Great.
Maybe a video game, but it's also a Hardy Boys book.
I knew Hardy Boys
books any good?
I don't know.
I have never read a single one.
Yeah, I have no idea. Oh, Database Danger.
I know there's a whole generation that love them.
That's too early for databases.
It does feel like it's way too early for a Database Danger. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, pronounced database. Scott.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Database. How could I forget after what's his name wins an Oscar and he used to play data?
No, he played Data.
Oh, it was Data. Oh.
Yeah. Come on. All right, let's get to the last one. You may not know your Hardy Boys books, but let's see how well you know your Kanye West songs or your Yee songs.
Oh, my God.
Which of these are Kanye West songs? Diamonds from Sierra Leone, Christian Dior Denim Flow, I Am Amazing, Flossy Bossy, RoboCop, and Purple Diamond Royal.
Well, I know what I want. God. I don't know. I don't listen to Kanye, so I really don't know. But I'm gonna go for it and pick a couple here.
Okay. You gotta go big, Scott, if you want to win.
Flossy Bossy.
Gotta pick at least two, because one, if he did sweep it, he could beat.
If you do two, you get them both. You tie.
The tie.
But if you go three, you can win. And I think suffice it to say that. Jeff Bremel in Knoxville, Tennessee would like you to go for three.
I bet he would. Yeah. I wish I knew it. I just don't know. I'm just going to choose.
Yeah. I only know one, but man, these other ones are,
I don't know terrible. Any, this is all a guess for me. It's mostly stuff I like the sound of. And one of them I hope is right. Mm-hmm. Cause it sounds like he thinks he's amazing.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's what I just get to.
Yeah. I really don't know. All right. I'm locked in. It looks like he
all
is.
All right.
Too.
Oh, you're so close, both of you.
No.
So you guys both picked Diamonds from Sierra Leone is indeed a Kanye song. RoboCop is indeed a Kanye West song. I Am Amazing is
just his
mantra, but not a Kanye West song.
Oh, Christian Dior Denim Flow?
It felt.
Christian Dior Denim Flow is the other Kanye West song. Those other three, not songs, but you know, again, I'm Amazing is a Kanye lyric, and I'm trying to think of what song that's from.
Maybe that's what I was.
Yeah.
Oh, because these are some of his older lyrics. Stuff. So these are lyrics, not names of songs.
Just I'm Amazing is the only one that I'm pretty sure is a lyric. I have no idea about Flossy Bossy or Purple Diamond Royal.
That one felt like.
No RoboCop idea, that one, is the song. RoboCop is it about RoboCop? Like. Is it a full-on rap about, you know?
I wish I could tell you definitively one way or the other.
What's your name, son? Officer Murphy. What's your name, son?
Police.
Oh, it is? Okay. Well, I want it to be about him fighting Ed 209 and, you know.
Exactly. I'd buy that for a dollar. No, that's I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, I'd buy that for a dollar and all that. That's what I want. But that's not what I'm going to get, is it, if I go listen? I'm not going to go listen. Yeah. So forget it.
Yeah.
Well, that means I lost, Brian. That's a bummer for Tennessee and all
but
all
that
people.
Does mean that Paul Redlinger from Toronto, Canada won, and he's going to get these prizes. The games are The Serpent Rogue, and Grow, Song of the Evertree. But Jeff Bremel is not going away empty-handed. He's getting that game, Hako Life.
All good games. Once again, we don't give away any crap here, okay?
We don't give away crap. It's good.
Never. Hey, Dunaway, speaking of no crap given, you and I are doing a Play Retro tomorrow. Our big topic this week is going to be
Conker's Bad Fur Day. From the N64 when Rare slipped one at the end of the N64 life cycle right before Nintendo launched their GameCube and went for a more mature audience. Mm-hmm. Nintendo, for a brief moment, lost their mind and said, sure.
Yeah, go ahead,
sure,
Rare.
Why not?
Drunk, you're cool.
Drunk Squirrel?
Yeah. Yeah. You've never made a game we don't make a lot of money from, so go ahead and make a Dirty Little Squirrel game. And they did.
Dirty Little Squirrel.
Is he really a Dirty Little Squirrel?
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, if you've never played Conker's Bad Fur Day, you should tune in tomorrow. I'm sure Scott's going to have plenty of clips.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot to say about him.
Squirrel.
It's a lot of people want more sequels. They want more. They want more out of that series. They're probably not going to get much more.
No, Microsoft ruined everything.
Yeah, Microsoft,
thanks a lot,
Microsoft. ate that sandwich. But what was I going to say about that? Oh, his first appearance though is actually in Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah,
and nobody knew who the hell it was. It was like, who's this? What is this character?
Really? Were they working? I guess you'll tell us on Play Retro.
Yeah, yeah.
Were they working on that game?
A clue, yes, 5 years in development, that along with Banjo-Kazooie, guess who won out for the top spot, but yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer, because I really like Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, yeah. Banjo-Kazooie's a great game.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that game.
Weirdest combination of, what is it, ostrich and bear? What were they? Was it an ostrich?
He was a bear, but I don't remember.
He's a Kazooie, right?
Is that a name of a bird?
Well, what was the thing? Didn't he have a bird on his back, and that's how he
He had a bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the bird is Kazooie.
Or was it a...
Let's see. Kazooie bird.
I guess I could wait until
you finally get around to that game for Play Retro.
That's true.
Well, it's actually... It'll be talked a little bit about tomorrow.
Okay.
Because it does have an impact on how bad Conker's got there.
All right. I found it. Banjo-Kazooie, typical, fictional, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Created by a British game.
He's a wombat.
Rare. Banjo and Kazooie are both introduced by burp. They don't say what it is. How do they not say what the bird is?
No kidding.
Oh, the bird.
Yeah.
Species. Here we go. Brown bear for Banjo. Breegull for Kazooie. Yeah. Breegull.
Breegull?
Yeah, like Bree the cheese and gull like California gull. Okay. Breegull.
I was thinking that was like a character from Lord of the Rings or something.
Breegull, dude.
Breegull.
Former king of the north. Breegull. That's great. And then Tootie was later, right? That was a different bird.
Right. That was...
No, Tootie was another bear.
Tootie was his girlfriend.
Right?
Tootie was on the facts of life. You guys are both smoking crack. Tootie was on the facts of life. I don't know where you're getting this.
She roller skated everywhere she went.
Is that roller skating Tootie, or is that the
roller Tootie?
Later, more mature Tootie.
No, it's roller Tootie.
Yeah.
You got to go roller Tootie.
Roller Tootie.
What other Tootie matters? That's the only Tootie that matters. Oh, my gosh.
Remember the early episodes, she was always on roller skates?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time. But later, you're right. She got more mature later on, and she was less about the skates and more
ended up kissing George Clooney.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, who saw that coming?
Men of a certain age know what the hell we're talking about. Anyway, Dunaway, being here with you has been a real treat and a pleasure. And we hope that the rest of your week is great. And we'll see you tomorrow for Play Retro. It's Brian Dunaway, everybody. Watch him as he goes. He goes at the end. One quick story in the news before we go.
Please,
all right. It's time for today's news, and it's brought to you by
Dreams of Running a Record Store with all the Frog Pants people.
I had a dream last night, and we all ran a record store, kind of like Capitol Records or not Capitol.
Gray Whale.
Like a Gray Whale, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Super indie.
If you're really old, Sam Goody or Musicland.
Yeah, yes. Or Empire.
Empire Records
like
is a
movie.
Great example, yeah.
Anyway, so we're running it. Brian's there. I'm there. Tom's there, and he's the biggest freaking hippie in this thing. Just long hair. Tom. Running the business, like making sure bills are paid and rent is paid and paychecks go out and all that. Veronica Belmont is in charge of all that.
Yeah.
Is a weird little dream. But it was fun. It was positive. It seemed like we were very successful doing the, you know, slinging the vinyl, Brian.
My, let's say it's like, all right, Brian, you've got X amount of money. Enough to open a business. What business do you want to open? Mm-hmm. And obviously it would have to be something podcasting related, but what I would do, basically the shop that Chloe Grace Moretz had in, was the series that we really liked.
The one we just watched, The Peripheral. is that?
Peripheral, yes. Yeah. It's a 3D print farm, like where you've got a bunch of 3D printers. You can design 3D stuff for folks. And then the back, there's a nice little studio where I can podcast.
Nice.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
That is like the dream job. Just having these things constantly churning out articulated geckos for people or you know, whatever.
Yeah. And, I have a very similar dream, but mine involves the Frog Pants Cafe, which is a front end like coffee and Danish and, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Some kind of art gallery kind of there too. People can go look. But then in the back or like up and on the loft is like a 24-hour podcast studio. We're just up there making content all day.
And like audio, like piping the audio of whatever show we're doing.
Right down into the thing. Exactly. So people can hear the dumb shit we say. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. With D&D tables in the back. Thursday night D&D every week. Mm-hmm. A few video games. TV's Travis. Yeah. Like Joust Machine, Tempest Machine.
If Carter and I have our way, this is going to happen one day. She'll run the cafe because I don't want to run that part. But she can.
Well, and Kim will do all the cooking and, like, you know.
Yeah, they can do all that. I'll be upstairs recording. You all do. You do the cafe. Man, I got this new keyboard for my PC that can sense when my hand's coming near it.
Get out. Really?
Yeah, and I didn't know I was getting that. It just came with the setup, and it's an EVGA brand. They just make video cards and stuff. But I go near this thing, and it starts.
It lights up or something?
Yeah, the keys go. And if I move away and I go back toward it, it's so weird. I didn't know I had a little sensor in it. It must.
That's kind of crazy. Anyway. It's kind of creepy, too. It's
freaking me out. Let's do this story. Oh, it has to do with records, actually, funny enough.
Perfect.
Check this out. Sales of vinyl albums overtook CDs for the first time right now since the late 80s. Oh, my gosh. Sales of vinyl, it's not good news for either format, probably, when the numbers are this low, but sales for vinyl records have been on the rise for years, but according to RIAA 2022 year-end revenue report for the music industry, record sales hit a new high last year. For the first time since 87, unit sales for vinyl outpaced those CDs, vindicating the all the people who had spent decades of their lives talking about how vinyl just sounds better. Well, also,
I'm not one of those people. I'm not like, oh, the vinyl has such a warm, rich sound. I like the physical ritual of putting record on, cleaning it, and then putting the needle on. It's like it makes you feel very close and personal to your records.
Yeah.
But if you give me the choice, I'd go digital.
Yeah.
Just digital with good speakers all the way.
Same.
Sorry, folks. Like, if you just want audio quality, digital.
Well, I have bad news, or I have good news for you and bad news for everybody else. That's the reason that they've overtaken CDs again, because digital music sales have far outpaced, streaming services in particular, have outpaced sales of physical media so much that they've actually knocked CDs down below vinyl albums, which is already incredibly low.
Yeah,
so the bar is
media is just tanked. Exactly. It's like saying that vinyl overtook CDs makes it sound like, oh, wow, a surge of vinyl. No, it's really just a hammering of all music sales by digital, and there's little tiny bars on the bottom that show vinyl and CD.
Yeah, this isn't Ant-Man finally unseating Avatar at the box office. That's not this kind of overtaking of sales.
Right.
This is more of a weird low bar. But anyway, revenue on vinyl records has been higher than revenue on CDs for a while now. The RIAA says the vinyl albums earned $1.2 billion compared to $483 million for CDs. That's actually a big difference.
It's huge.
The growth in vinyl was more than enough to offset a drop in CD revenue, helping overall physical media revenue climb 4% over 2021, which was already way up over 2020. Streaming services still account for the vast majority of all music revenue in the U.S. in particular, 84%, up from 83%. They say an average of 92 million streaming music subscriptions active in 2022. I assume that's spread over the two major platforms, Apple Music and Spotify, and then there's a few others on the other end.
Sure,
as far as ad-supported stuff like YouTube, which generated $13.3 billion, growth of streaming.
Two questions.
Yeah.
When is Minidisc coming back? Because, boy, am I ready. I still have, I saved everything just for the day that Minidisc comes back.
I'm ready now, too, because you sent me one. I got one right back there.
I know. You'll finally be able to watch, Juliette Lewis roller skating. It'll be great.
Can't wait.
In the tiniest bikini ever. Also, the last, like, the only CDs that I've bought in the last 10 years are ones that I need so I can own a physical, so that I can own the media of stuff I play on the show. If I can buy it digitally, that's my first. And I go to Amazon, iTunes, iTunes Abroad if I can get it with one of my other accounts and a VPN. I'll do that. But if I can't own it digitally, then sadly it's like, okay, give me that used copy for $4 on Amazon Marketplace. I'll take it.
Wow. Yeah. See, even Brian, music man extraordinaire, billions of songs. Yeah. He's got it everywhere. He's got hard drives full of this stuff. He'd still
exactly
rather go digital.
And these, and the albums I'm getting, like the vinyl albums, like this awesome one right here of Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
50 years old this month.
Oh, my Lord.
Those come to me from an Amazon subscription. It's like one of those loot boxes, but you get a awesome album every month. Mm-hmm. Like this month, it was actually Tusk by Fleetwood Mac, which, if you ask me, just under
Rumors.
Under Rumors.
Really? I need to check that out because I barely listen to anything but Rumors.
Yeah, if you listen to Rumors a lot and love it, jump one more album forward and listen to Tusk.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Does it feature?
You've got some songs on here, you know.
I'm sure I do. Yeah. Give me some track names I would know.
You've got What Makes You Think You're the One. You've got Sarah.
I know that one.
The big song by Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
Think About Me.
Yeah.
I don't hold you down. Maybe I just want you around. Yeah, that one. What else? Oh, that's about it. But the title track, which is a banger, and Mick Fleetwood employed a bunch of school marching bands to produce the drum sound of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool. So yeah. What if you were like you're a guy now in your 50s who was a kid then?
I'm a guy now, and I am in my 50s.
Yeah, but what if you were one of these kids that was in the marching band and you got paid like $20 or whatever? That would be a cool thing to always tell people.
That would be a really cool.
Like thing. We got paid to do the drum stuff for Fleetwood Mac.
Let's see. Experiment with different found sounds on the song. Fleetwood and Buckingham played lamb chops and a Kleenex box on the track, respectively. So, if you listen to the song Tusk, you're hearing Mick Fleetwood play lamb chops and Lindsey Buckingham play a Kleenex box.
How do you play lamb chops?
I have no idea. They recruited the University of Southern California's Trojan Marching Band. So I'm sorry, not high school marching bands, but a college marching band.
Gotcha. They needed the pro level marching band. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I need to know. I need to see somebody. Is it bones or just the action? Is the meat on the bones?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
I need to know more about
that. How do you play the lamb chops?
I need to know more. All right. Interesting.
Anyway,
Final story here before we take our break. I'm going to jump to this one just because it's fun. Chuck E. Cheese. Are you familiar with Chuck E. Cheese?
Oh, yes. Yes. What does that E stand for?
Has it ever been
revealed what Chuck E. Cheese's middle name is?
I don't know. We should find that out. It's probably Eddie or something. Let's see.
Yeah. Chuck
E. Cheese. What does the E stand for?
Oh, it is. People are saying it's entertainment. Like, entertainment is his middle name kind of thing.
Is it real?
Oh, a lot of people know this, apparently.
It's Charles Entertainment Cheese.
I much prefer Matuba's answer, which is Emerson. Yes, I'm Charles
Emerson Cheese.
Cheese the third.
Charles Entertainment Cheese. Holy shit. Okay.
So many people do that. How do we not know that?
That's amazing. All right. So Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. Still uses floppy disks to make its rodent mascot dance.
Oh, wow.
Until 2019, believe it or not, the U.S. nuclear weapons program ran on 8-inch floppy disks. All right.
Until 2019.
Yeah, dude. Holy cow. Because they got the old reliable. This is something a computer security person would tell you, that sometimes the oldest stuff is the most secure because you can't hack it, you know, like. It's not on the internet.
But any magnetic media, you got to feel like, oh no, that accidentally brushed past a kitchen magnet that Clarence gave me for, you know, a little joke magnet he bought me at Spencer's.
No, you're not wrong. It feels I mean, they must have like tons of backups, right?
Tons of backups. Why not a zip drive at least? Or
no kidding.
A jazz drive.
A whole gigabyte on a jazz drive.
That's right, a jazz drive.
Let's see. As of today, there are still quite a few technologies that rely on floppies. Boeing 747 jets use them still. Well, that's comforting. Part of the San Francisco public transit system. Not surprising, maybe. And a slightly less concerning but no less amusing note, the performing animatronic creatures at Chuck Entertainment Cheese restaurants. employees in this video, there's a viral TikTok video going around where an employee shows off the winter 2023 floppy disk sent from corporate. The TikTok user demonstrates how he loads the 3.5-inch floppy into a larger computer.
It's a 3.5-inch floppy, so a little bit better than an 8-inch at least.
A little more modern.
A little more modern, yeah.
Get a little metal clip that
some
moves to the side.
Some good old 1989 technology or 1990 technology.
I used to... Oh, that's a story for a different day. Anyway, large computer server in order to relay the data for the longstanding song and dance routine for the robotic animals. Let's see if I can actually pull this up. Can see this video in action here.
Do you actually have... In your house somewhere, do you have a 3.5-inch floppy disk?
I have... Yes, I have multiple. If I could reach it, I'd grab it, but I have the entire installed disc set of Doom 2 over there. And I kept that for some reason.
Nice.
I don't think my guess is it doesn't work, but...
I think I've got the System 7 install discs. The Macintosh System 7.
That's great.
Remember, it was like, ooh, System 7.
System 7. That's the one... I think that's the one Jeff Goldblum used to hack the aliens, I think.
Might have been.
I think it was 7. I can't find the TikTok's not
showing. Clearly HyperCard.
I don't know why this isn't showing up. Hold on, everybody. Oh, here it is. Oh, this guy does is like show. He looks like he's from the 80s, but he just shows video of him doing stuff at Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, I gotta follow this account.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm following it now. All right. Well, he's called Showbiz Pizza Man on TikTok. I recommend it. Go check it out.
What do the animatronic robots in Five Nights at Freddy's run on? Because those don't run on floppy disks. Those run on like Satan or something.
The Tears of Children, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Badger Lord, I think, would be able to tell us that one.
I've never played that game.
I haven't either. There's one for the Oculus that I think I might pick up.
Oh, you should, and then tell me what you think.
I will.
Then it will be you. Who has to endure?
Do I hate Meta enough to not upgrade to one of the newer Oculuses since the Oculus One? I guess it's the Quest.
Oh, you got the Quest, the first Quest, right?
I have the Quest One, yeah.
The Meta Quest Two prices.
Do I hate them
just
enough to not upgrade?
I don't know. Like the Pro is not for us. That's for people who are crazy.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
I would wait until the end of this year because Apple's going to announce their thing. So that's happening September. So I would wait before I would do anything.
Because Apple always does everything better.
Nobody
in our chat room would disagree with
that. No, there'll be no consternation from that statement. It'll be fine.
Poke, poke, poke. Any bears in the audience? Poke, poke, poke.
Poke all they want. I don't want to get it. You people in the chat with your Pepsi and Coke fights. I don't want any of it. All right, let's get into the break. And then when we come back, we're going to do a little app slappy. So stick around for that. So Steven's out. He's got a thing today, doctor's appointment or something. Boy, look at all these old guys.
He couldn't schedule his physical on the same day we schedule ours. I'm really disappointed.
How sad indeed. But not sad because there's music. What are we playing? What do we got?
Yeah, we're listening to a band from Indianapolis, an alt-rock band. You guys who really want the heavier rock, this is your week for Indie in the Middle. I think all three of the songs this week are going to be rockers, are going to be bangers. This is a brand new single, Back Again, from the band Chin Up Kid. After a 4-year hiatus, these guys are back again. Here is the Indianapolis alternative rock band Chin Up Kid and Back Again.
Sing. much you could do anything.
I'm also going to tell him about the way you run your business.
The Morning Stream. Sometimes I can and sometimes I can't. Who gives a damn?
And we're back. I need to know who that was. I don't have any idea.
Sure. Oh, I'm glad you asked, Scott. That is Chin Up Kid from their brand new single. Well, it is the brand new single. It's called Back Again after a 4-year hiatus. Chin Up Kid is back with a song called Back Again.
They're back. Back again.
Guess who's back?
Something.
And a little, not really a point of clarification, but if you guys are really looking for a Bruce Springsteen song about pedophiles, I'll point you to the song Working on the Highway, which is about a pedophile who goes to jail.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. I was worried that I wasn't going to get pedophile
song. It's like,
song.
Oh, dang it. I need a Bruce Springsteen song about a pedophile. Well, yeah. you're just too late. It came from an earlier album than Born in the USA, which is where I'm on Fire was.
I don't know if you actually did this today, but here's what you did, Brian. You reminded the people, the populi, okay?
Yeah, good, yeah.
Context matters, right?
Exactly.
Sometimes people forget there's nuance in anything people say, and sometimes nuance involves when it happened, who said it, how long ago was it, what was the culture like at large. Like, don't always assume that a thing you read in 2023 mm-hmm. is what you think it read like in 82 or exactly. 59 I mean, or whatever.
Yeah, the term daddy really only used by little fiery short Irish women, and that's about it. That's the only real use these days of the term daddy. But everything else, that all comes from days long ago.
Some like mid-20s, just fiery little Irish
probably
weirdos.
Right around there. Yeah, exactly. Usually talking about Pedro Pascal, but could be anybody.
Could be anyone.
Yeah. Could be anyone.
Oh, you guys hear this?
App slappy.
I present you the banginest track that Eric Van Skyhawk ever made, and that is because he and I used to do a show called App Slappy. It was dedicated to app reviews. Stephanie, you can leave the room now. But Brian and I revived it here for TMS, so we can talk about apps once in a while, usually when Steven's gone or we have some other little break in the action, and that's what we're going to do today. Real quick before I forget, this is not a spoiler. Mm-hmm. This was already known thing, but the entirety, a very large portion of the finale of The Last of Us takes place right in the middle of Salt Lake City.
Oh, really? I thought you could say in an app. I'm like, oh, that'll be interesting.
No, definitely not that. Okay. But
all right, don't say anymore. That's
not a spoiler. Well, I mean, you'll see it and you'll recognize stuff, and that's why I appreciate it, because it wasn't just like faking it. They actually did it. Like, it was the real city, and I know right where they were, and it wasn't like faked it was faked. How do I put this? I think it was filmed there, but they do the magic in the background with all the CGI and the whatnot to make cities look like shit. And they did it there, and it looked amazing. I want to live in that post-apocalyptic version of my city. I would love that. Anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah, there is literally a sign that says Salt Lake City. You're right.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah, that helps. Okay, let's get to this. So I'll start today with a game that I grabbed on Apple Arcade. All this Apple talk pissed more people off. This is a game that you can only get there right now, but I have a feeling this will end up in other places after the exclusivity window's over. So maybe mark it down and keep your eye on it. It's called Stitch. And if you miss the early days of the App Store or the Google Play Store, when the games leaned into like simplicity and no ads, and it was just a thing you played because it passed the time. You're at the doctor's office and you're like, boy, this sure is a good way to kill 10 minutes before I get taken in there or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is that. And it's a real interesting return to that kind of game. So basically, it's a puzzle game that's both visual but also deals with numbers. And I'm showing the video to the chat room for those at home just listening. You're given, you basically have a camera that zooms in on needle point or like a stitch looking
cross stitch.
That's better. Yeah, that's a better way of putting it. And it's got a cool like realistic texture to it, and you know, you feel like you're looking at somebody's actual cross stitch. And in it, you have a grid, and the grid has a variety of numbers. And those numbers are like a 5 and a 6, a couple of 3s, whatever. And your goal is to be like, all right, I need to figure out how to do coverage of 6 of these and 5 of these without crossing into each other so that I can also get the 2 3s.
Right.
And there's a way to do it, and it gets more complicated as the game goes on, obviously, a bigger grid, more numbers. But it's a really good like brain test of like where should this stuff go?
Because you're doing like consecutive boxes that all share the same number and color, and you're like, all right, well, that could be a 3, or I could do down for the 3 there, or
right
across. But it's always like connected, and you can't like have an L shape. It's always going to be like, if it's 4, it's going to be like 2 by 2 or 4 along or something like that.
Correct. It's always down, and even the odd numbers, they're vertical or horizontal. There's no like right. Cutting corners or
grids.
Anything.
Yeah,
which is a fun rule to have to remind yourself all the time, because the game is trying to trick you into thinking that they go in different places. But then while you're doing the math, you also want to try to tap into your creative side and say, well, this can't be here because that yellow color of the top of the gecko in the stitch, if this is yellow, it needs to be up here where the yellow is, so I can't be dipping down into these other numbers. So it's a really cool combination of like composition, kind of art recognition, and then numbers. Mm-hmm. And I got really sucked into this. I didn't expect to be. I kind of thought it was a little throwaway at first, but and I guess it is, and that's maybe part of why I like it, because it is kind of throwaway.
It's so easy to pick up any time and not have to, like, you don't need to devote a lot of time to it. It remembers where you are, so even if you don't finish one of the hoops, it lets you pick back up where you left off. Mm-hmm. I love this game.
Yeah,
I'm so glad.
And the wiping thing is, wiping's easy. It's just kind of satisfying. It's like, it's like you're almost doing Photoshop lasso over a bunch of space, and it just feels satisfying when you've done it. So big recommendation here. Sounds like Brian likes it as well. If that's not enough for you, then I don't know what to tell you.
And we can't help you. We just can't help
you. This is on Apple Arcade, which means it also runs really well on M1 Max, and my M1, I play it on there when I'm in a boring Zoom call. It's a fun way to play this, and it works with the mouse just fine. So anyway, go check it out. It is called Stitch. And it is available on Apple Arcade currently, maybe somewhere else later, but for now, that's where you'll get it. Brian, what did you bring today?
People who are on multiple platforms will love this one, because this is not strictly an Apple game. It is the game called Moncage, kind of like montage, but you got a C instead of a T. Might be pronounced Moncage, but I don't think so. I feel like it's got to be called Moncage. Available on Steam, the App Store, and Google, and Switch, and all every place. However, I would say you definitely want to play this on a touchscreen thing. So Steam Deck, your Google phone, your Apple phone, one of those. But you might, I don't know what the Switch play is like, or keyboard and mouse play if you do it that way on Steam. But anyway, the point of the game is to get through this visual world of levels, and very, very Myst-like in this way. But instead of having like this big open screen, you've got this box in the center of your screen that almost looks like it's got mirrors reflecting different worlds on either side. And what you want to do is rotate that mirrored box, or rotate that box, so that things on one side of the box somehow manage to match up with things on another adjacent side of the box. For example, a wheel or a track or a ladder, things like that. And as you move that box, as you make that wheel on one panel match up with the wheel on another panel, that rotates and a new area opens up. And
this looks like a trip. My gosh. Sorry.
It is a trip. And it is so crazy. It is so fun. It has got such, like, the graphics are gorgeous. It is, it's just a beautiful game to play. And it's another one where you can kind of pick up and put down. If you ever get stuck, you can like press down with 2 fingers and it'll highlight the next thing that you should be looking at to try and match up. And it's like, oh, I should be looking at this toy train track. Oh, and it kind of matches up with this bent fence over on this panel. You get them to match up, and all of a sudden the train goes off the track onto the fence in the other area and opens up another another thing.
That's wild, dude. Look at that.
It is really, really cool.
I'm showing some extended gameplay here, and I'm
yeah,
I'm getting this today. This looks insane.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. No, no microtransactions or transactions. I think it's Apple Arcade. Maybe it's not Apple Arcade because they wouldn't be able to put it on.
They can put it on Steam. They just can't put it on Google or on
Android. Yeah, so since this is on Google Phone as well, then it's probably just a regular.
You pay for it? Or is it free?
I think I paid for it. I'm trying to. I bought it a while ago. Yeah, $4.99 on the App Store.
Nice.
Worth it. You'll get. You know, they say it takes you 4 or 5 hours to get through the whole game. I'm just having a blast going through and like watching the animation from everything. Moncage, M-O-N-C-A-G-E, made by the fine folks at Optillusion and Nintendo Switch, Android, Microsoft Windows, and Mac and iOS. So pretty much everything.
That sounds great. I love the art style. I think this looks awesome. Almost like Puzzle Box, but.
Yeah.
Obviously, the, you know, different than just open the drawer and find the key.
Right. Yeah, but very similar to those, what the room or the box, things like that. Those games, yeah. Oh,
I love those games.
I do, too.
All right. You've sold me. I'm in.
There you go. So Stitch and Moncage were our two games today.
Very, very nice. There you go. Those are your app slappies for the day. And that's going to do it for us. We're going to get out of here. And when we come back tomorrow... we'll have a full day, you know, morning of stuff, regular show.
We'll have a Bill. We'll have a Bobby who we'll call Bill.
Yeah, and, we'll call Bill Bobby, Bobby Bill. It'll all be fine. Someone's making shit out of foam. The other one's talking about the moon. I don't know. Whatever. And then Wednesday, they're going to repeat this so that people don't go, where's the show today?
Right.
Oh, now me saying this help. Is, now they're just going to joke. Now they're going to all do it because they think they're funny.
Oh, but the pod feeding thing?
No show on Wednesday.
Oh, pod feeding.
Okay. That means that we will not be here Wednesday, and I'm just letting you know early. We'll tell you again tomorrow, and then we just won't be here Wednesday, and then we'll be back Thursday. Okay?
That's right. We'll be back. It's fine.
It'll be fine. It'll
be okay.
And we'll have Wendy with us, and she can be all the therapy for you missing a show on Wednesday. Okay?
Exactly.
All the horrible mental trauma you've experienced for not having a show on Wednesday. She'll be here to solve it. All right? So anyway, that's all coming up throughout the week. Big thanks to everybody on our Patreon for supporting us. If you haven't yet, patreon.com/TMS. Please get over there. Give us your love. We need it. And you'll know why when you read there, why you'll be compelled. It's just so many good reasons to join up. So go check it out. That's patreon.com/TMS. For all your other needs for this show, you can find them at frogpants.com/TMS. All right. I think that's it, Brian. Let's get out of here. Do you have a song we can play?
I have a song. Yes. Pirate Ian wrote in and said, "Hola, cover master. I tried to submit a song last month, but realized today that I sent the request to the wrong place. Derp. 2.5 years ago, I met my best friend and love of my life, Ashley. Her birthday falls on Valentine's Day, so technically I'm only a month late. Nice. John Prine's In Spite of Ourselves has been in heavy rotation throughout our relationship, so covers of that or any John Prine covers would be great. Ashley," he says, "I love you, but I could eat."
I could eat what? I could eat rice?
It just says in quotes, "but I could eat."
But I could eat. Okay, sure.
Yeah, and then love the show, though. D-O-H, Pirate Ian.
All right. Pirate Ian, this is for your girlfriend.
Let's party!
Be safe out there. Be safe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Apparently that's a little in joke between the two of them. So how cute, I hope. Okay. All right. So I don't have a cover of In Spite of Ourselves by John Prine, but I'm a big John Prine fan. Did a whole tribute show for him when he passed away a few years ago. Let's get to this one right here. This is might be one of my favorite John Prine songs, personally, and great for a sweet little couple that likes this sort of thing. It's called Let's Talk Dirty in Hawaiian. And this cover is performed by Those Darlins from the Broken Hearts and Dirty Windows, a tribute to John Prine. It came out in 2010. Here are Those Darlins and Let's Talk Dirty in Hawaiian.
Milwaukee. Hello, I keep you. Just stay.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
There's a chicken in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.